City. It's your man, Big Pat, the voice of your Charlotte Hornets, and you're listening to the All Hornets Podcast Network, presented by Sports Illustrated.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, my name is Sam Dracula. I'm a Hornets fan that makes YouTube videos about the Hornets, and I do live streams during games. And I'm excited to record this podcast talking about my favorite role players on this roster this season. We're post-trade deadline. We're post-All-Star break. And so this is what we got. This is what we have to work with. This is the Charlotte Hornets team we have to watch as fans the rest of the way, for better or worse. This episode, I'm going to talk about the better, the positive side of things. But I can't promise I won't be complaining about some things as we go through this. But in general, this is a good list because I really like this roster, right? It's not complete. There's still a few things that could be better from a roster construction point of view. Obviously, the whole team could be healthier. That'd be like, that's the top priority, right? But in general, generally speaking, I like the guys on this team a lot. And I wish we had them in November. But it's March. You get what you get and you don't get upset, right? So this list I'm about to go through is my favorite role players right now on this Hornets roster, right? I'm going to start with my least favorite first and then go up, work my way up to my favorite. If you've been in my YouTube streams during these games, you'll know who it is, but I'll expand upon that here. I also wanted to do this now because of our new head guy, Jeff Peterson. And he says he'll be evaluating all of these guys ahead of the summer. So, you know, let's do some evaluating of our own. I thought, why not, you know? They're all under contract next year for the most part. So who's worth keeping and counting on next year? So here are my thoughts. But first, do me a favor. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast, to this feed, on whatever platform you're listening on. Okay, the All Hornets Podcast Network is one podcast feed with multiple shows, making sure we cover the Charlotte Hornets from every single angle. If you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. The All Hornets Podcast Network is affiliated with the Fans First Sports Podcast Group. There's also a store, link in the description. Check out the All Hornets Podcast online store for shirts, sweatshirts, and hoodies. So this is how the tier list is going to work, all right? The following Hornets are not eligible for this list of my favorite role players right now for the following reasons, okay? Brandon Miller, not a role player, all right? Miles Bridges, he's the second or third best player on the team. Subjective art form, right? Not a role player. LaMelo Ball, he's a franchise player, and he's also hurt. All right, we're not talking about LaMelo today. At least specifically about LaMelo. Mark Williams, he's hurt. I view him as a role player, but honestly, his sample size is too small, and he's likely done for the year. He's played 62 games in 2 years. That's really brutal. So we'll see, but he's off this list for now, okay? And then guys like Bolden, Amari Bailey, Leaky Black as well. I'm going to put him in this mix as well. The NBA sample size is too small. Although Leaky Black has put up some really nice defensive performances out there. So shout out to him for that. But for the sake of the list, he's not included. And again, I just want to reiterate that this is a right now and next season list. I'm not ranking players solely on their long-term potential because you have guys in their late 20s and 30s in this list. This is a right now thing, okay? And also, just again, I like all of these players, but some are more NBA ready than others. And that's going to factor into how they rank in my tier list. So we've got to start somewhere. So we got to start at the bottom, okay? Somebody has to be at the bottom. And I got three names in this tier. So I call it the bottom tier. These guys were used a lot and then got pushed down the rotation post-deadline for a good reason. We have Nick Smith Jr., JT Thor, and Bryce McGowan. Nick Smith Jr. is 19 years old. JT Thor is 21 years old, and Bryce McGowan is 21 as well. All three of these guys are super young, right? Smith is a rookie. Thor is a third-year guy, which is crazy. To be 21 years old in the third league, in your third year in the league is wild. And then McGowan's is in year two. On the helping this team win right now scale, they're pretty low on the list, right? These guys remain bench guys up until the trade deadline. And when the new guys came, they got pushed down for a reason, right? They're just not ready to compete in a real big time rotation yet. Yet is the key word there. I think they can at some point. It's just not happening as of 2024, March 2024 specifically. Now, they're capable of big moments, but to rely on them, like, all right, someone's in foul trouble. JT Thor, we need some big minutes out of you. That's a hard sell. And the new guys that are brought in, which we'll talk about later, offer more in that department. If you feel where I'm going with this, you hear it on the broadcast, you see it as just in the product itself. You know, the overall basketball IQ has been raised significantly with the new guys. And that's because compared to these other guys, I mean, McGowan's, Thor, and Smith, they just don't have that yet. It'll come in time, but they're not there yet, so they have to be at the bottom as far as key rotation guys for a winning product, right? But I want to talk about each of them as well before we just jump to the next list, okay? McGowan's, I like, right? He's a smooth operator out there. He takes care of the ball and has some sneaky athleticism about him. He's just not a reliable two-way guy yet. I think he can get there, though. I think he can get there. You know, I feel for him, too, because, you know, this can't be easy as a young player, right, from being involved to not being involved, right? Before the trade deadline, he was playing 16 minutes a game, and now he's playing 10, right? And as a result, you know, he's playing less. The numbers are going to drop off as well from an average point of view. So it can't be easy, but I hope he understands what's going on and what he needs to do to get better. Like, he went from 4 shots a game to 1.6, you know? He's under, like, 1 3-point attempt. He was at 2 3-point attempts before the deadline, and now he's at 0.5 a game, you know? So this offseason and this run-up to the summer league preseason is going to be massive for McGowan's. Because he's coming up on a contract as well. A decision has to be made on him in the not-too-distant future. So if he wants to be part of this mix long-term, I think the final few games here this year are really a real opportunity for him to show what he has. And he can hopefully carry that momentum into the summer, like summer league. I hope to see him involved in that as well as preseason and then obviously the regular season. The next guy I want to talk about in this young guy tier is JT Thor. He has in my opinion, the most upside of the three guys between him, Smith, and McGowan's. I think JT Thor has the most upside of the three of them, given his age, frame, and versatility. Now, like McGowan's, right? We saw a big drop off post deadline. Thor was 13 minutes a game before the trade. He had 9 DNPs. Post deadline, he's down from 13 to 7 minutes per game. And has already had 6 DMPs. He had 9 all year going into the deadline. And now he's at 6. Thor is basically a catch and shoot 3-point guy offensively. You know, he can run the floor. You know, he's active there. But in the half court, that's going to be his role. That's where he is now. And to his credit, this month. I know we're only barely halfway through the month, and he's shooting 43% from three. But it's only on 7 attempts, but he's shooting at a decent clip, right? If he gets more run, if he gets more volume, we'll see what happens with that number. But it can't be his thing, his catch, because there are better shooters on the roster. And I would love to see him focus on defense and rebounding going forward, right? Thor has a team option for $2 million next year. That should be picked up. It'd be crazy if it wasn't, in my opinion. But I look at Thor as like what he's going to hope, what he hopefully becomes as a real like stopper, right? Our version of Ananobi, hopefully. That's the finished product for JT Thor, in my opinion. He's just not there yet. And so that's why he has to be in the young guy tier, right? Not a bad player, but someone who just hasn't reached his full potential yet. And it's hard to really count on in a serious rotation. And similarly, let's go to Nick Smith Jr. right now. I think Smith has the second highest potential out of him, Thor, and McGowan's, right? He has the best pedigree of the three of them, considering his top recruit status coming out of high school and his first round draft selection. You know, pre-trade deadline, he was playing a lot, 16 minutes per game, okay, in 36 games. He was shooting 45% from three. He was 84% from the free throw line, 40% from the field overall. You know, things were looking like we had something here. You could kind of see what he could become. Yeah, post-deadline, big drop-off, comparatively, right? Like, he went from 16 minutes a game to 12. He went from 40% shooting to 14% shooting. He went from 45% three-point shooting to zero. Last time Nick Smith Jr. hit a three-pointer was February 9th, just to give you perspective on this. Smith is a dog, right? In the good way, right? He's a competitor. The way he was staring down Dennis Smith Jr. the other night, like I love that type of stuff. You just got to back it up, right, on the score sheet. You know, his future is pairing his intensity with a refined passing game and becoming a real playmaking option for this team, you know, like a real combo guard. Once he can do that, I think that will really extend his NBA career and could bring a ton of value to the Hornets. You know, he's just not there yet. So he's in this bottom tier for now. So I just want to reiterate one last time with Smith, Thor, and McGowan's. I like those guys. They have a lot of potential. They're just not there yet. And I think it will come. I think they'll get there. Next tier up, right? These guys are keepers, but are playing above their weight class, so to speak. I'll explain why. Okay, so this includes Nick Richards and Micic. Let's start with Nick Richards, okay? Well, both of these guys are not starters. They're not NBA starting level for their positions. But they have been because of need. And so when it's just hard to put them in the proper tier when they're being played out of their slot, in my opinion. So let's start with Nick Richards, and I'll explain what I mean. So Nick is 26 years old. He's in the prime. He's entering really his prime years as an NBA player. And he's, in my opinion, the prototypical role player. You know, he embodies the idea of the Kawhi saying, born man gets paid. He's on a second contract, which is a big W, right, by the way. Anytime a second-round pick can get a second contract, massive. So he's winning off the court. He's a winner off the court for sure. On the court, though, it's a lot's being asked of him because of the Mark Williams injury, which is, you know, it's not Nick Richards' problem, right? It's not his fault Mark is hurt and then Nick is being, you know, out here playing starter minutes. But he's just not on that level right now. And it's painful because I'm rooting for him. You know, he outplayed Vernon Carey in this draft class. You know, the Hornets have recently just played the Detroit Pistons. And you see it was him and Wiseman out there. You know, both. One was a second overall pick. One was a second round pick. And Richards, I don't know if you'd be able to tell outside of him getting dunked on. I don't know if you'd be able to tell which one's which just from watching the game. But, you know, when you look at comparable centers in the league, guys that have played at least 40 games and average at least 26 minutes per game, which is what he does, there's 27 players in the league that qualify. And among those guys, among those 27, he's last. Nick Richards is last in points per game. He's 16th in rebounding per game. He's 12th in blocks, 26th in steals, 17th in free throw attempts, 20th in free throw percentage, and then the worst in plus minus. If you're into that type of thing, if you're a fan of plus minus, he is the worst plus minus in the league of centers that have played 40 games and average 26 minutes per game. Starting centers that have played 40 games and average 26 minutes at least a game. And for the record, Porzingis is one, Jokic is two, Gobert, then Towns, then Nurkic, just to give you an example of just the plus minus rankings. But my guy, Kareem Abdul-Richards, has a lot to offer, but I have to drop him down the list because he grades poorly against other starting centers. You know, if Mark Williams is healthy and Richards is coming off the bench, different story. I think he'd be not at the top, but the next tier down of my list if he was coming off the bench. Not putting up these numbers specifically because he'd be playing fewer minutes, but offering this type of production or contribution as a bench guy instead of a starter. It's like, I got to knock him for that. That's why he's here. That's why he's second from the bottom in my tier list. And for a very similar reason, Vasile Micic, he's in here too, okay? Big Meech, right? My guy. New to the NBA, new to Charlotte. He likes to be called Vasa, and I wish Vasa passa the ball a little bit more, okay? He's in the Nick Richards tier because, like Nick, he's just playing in an elevated role. Vasa, as a backup point guard or playing alongside LaMelo, we just haven't seen it yet. Like, I think him playing next to a guy like LaMelo Ball will open things up a ton for Micic as a real, like, option to deliver the ball to, right, and play off of with LaMelo. So he's just a victim of the injury issue circumstance going on as far as this tier list goes. He's definitely a keeper. I like him a lot, and I think going into next year, he could be a real player as the second or third, preferably third, point guard in the mix. And the Hornets will need the depth, by the way, going into next year, because you just can't count on LaMelo staying healthy from this point on, right? You got to have a solid plan B and plan C. And I think Micic is a solid plan C. He's a real upgrade over the backup point guards that we had going into this season too, right? Ish Smith, and all due respect to Ish Smith and Frankie Smokes, you know. The last five games as a starter, he's shooting 24% from three. That ain't it. That's not going to do it. I like his composure on the ball and that he can play make legitimately. I just wish he focused on that instead of chucking up threes like he has been lately. And it's an easy thing to fall into. And then he offers so much more as a creator. But I like the player. I just don't like him playing 30 minutes a night. I'm excited to see how he fits into the rotation once everybody's back, which will probably be next year. I just haven't seen it yet, so he has to be low on the list. All right, we're on the third tier, right? Third tier from the bottom. This is the fun tier. Forget the stats. These guys are vibes, pure vibes. There's two names on the list. The first one, Pokuševski. I don't expect a lot of wins the rest of the way. I hope to be competitive, but at minimum, I want to have fun watching these teams play. And Pokuševski brings fun, okay? I'm going to say this with chest. He's the most fun player to watch on this team. You don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. And it's fun. I'm here for it. I'm so glad he's here. I'm sad that it's not a longer-term deal. Hopefully, he comes back next year. But I'm here for it. I'm here for it. James did a great interview with the Greensboro coach talking about Pokuševski and his commitment and his teamwork. It's a really good listen, really good insight. I like this guy. I was a fan from afar, just from a interest level point of view. He could be our unicorn. And forget your Wembys, forget your Holmgrens. We got Poku. The other name in the fun tier for me is Seth Curry. Seth Curry brings the best narrative by far. Poku is the most fun. Seth brings the most narrative. And honestly, do I need to explain it further than that? Having a Curry in Charlotte wearing number 30, it's a beautiful thing. I'm just going to leave it there. Okay, this is the second tier from the top. Okay, we're getting to the meat and potatoes. Is that a saying? I don't know. We're getting to the top of the pyramid, whatever you want to call it, the top of the tier list. Okay, the universal fit tier. These guys can get into most rotations in the league. Let's start with Davis Bertans. Pew, 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 pew. Those are my laser noises. All right, starting getting real maintenance lately, right? It took him a while to get a conditioned and comfortable, I guess. But after not really playing for OKC, since he's been here, since he's been playing more, 25 minutes per game. Now, that's just the last five games. He's been looking like the real shooting specialist I've been wishing for this franchise, right? The catch and shoot potential with him once LaMelo gets back is insane, right? We haven't had a guy like that. And so he has all the makings of a real quality role player for the squad next year. So I hope he sticks around. I really do. You know, because the role players, in my opinion, the best role players have a specific set of skills, to borrow a cliche. And Bertans out there, you know exactly what you're getting. You put him out there because you need shooting. He's going to deliver shooting. So the first 12 games he's been here, he was on 19 minutes a game. He was shooting, what, 3 of 7? Basically 40% from the field, 42% from three, right? 2 of 6, or basically like 3 of 7, basically from distance, right? 71% from the free throw line, 1.9 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 9.6 points per game. And then the last five games, he's been playing 27 minutes a night. He's been taking 10 shots a night, shooting at 36% from the field, 38% from three, with three makes a game, right? 75% from the line, 3.8 rebounds, 2 dimes, 1.4 assists, you know, 11 points, like I mentioned. Like, this guy is the prototypical role player, and he's ours, at least for now. I'm here for it. Shout out to Bertans. I'm here for this, man. I'm here for Bertans. I like the Latvian laser a lot. Next up in this tier, in this grouping, Grant Williams. Okay, so I'm not going to lie. I wasn't a big fan of Grant Williams before he got here. I can't even front. There's too many weird things, like reported stories surrounding him. But now that he's here, he's as advertised. He's really tough. He's a real competent role player with big time playoff experience, right? Should the Hornets ever be fortunate enough to make the playoffs, and Grant Williams is still on the team, I hope he uses his NBA Finals experience to help these boys out, because he's the only one on the team that's been to the NBA Finals. And that's that type of thing is important. Maybe we're a playing team one day. Maybe the Hornets are a playing team one day, and Grant Williams can lend a word of wisdom or two to help the boys out. Since the trade, Grant, right, he's been playing. It's 14 games, 30 minutes a game, on 48% shooting from the field, 36% from three, 78% from the free throw line. You know, 5 boards, 2 assists. This guy has been a role player for really big teams. And now he's here. And so I think that just raises the level of talent in a major way. And then, not to, you know, bring up the trade, I'm sure it's been talked about a bunch from everybody, but him and PJ aren't that different. And to get Grant Williams and a first round pick in 2027 and Seth Curry for PJ, with how good Grant has been since he got here, it's a beautiful thing. Also, some really solid narrative here. Not as, you know, the hometown's reunion is cool, you know, but it doesn't match the Seth Curry narrative with his pops here, right? But shout out to Grant Williams. Big fan of him. I'm glad he's a Hornet. And the last guy in this list, which means one man is remaining. Hint, hint. Cody Martin is the last man in this list. If you missed it earlier this year, I did a podcast about Cody Martin and his value to the team. I'm not going to rehash all of it here, but I will say it's remarkable that he hasn't, you know, taken more than 13 shots in a game in his entire career. I'm going to say that again. In Cody Martin's NBA career, he has never taken more than 13 shots in one game. One more time. Never taken more than 13 shots in a game. He's played on some really bad teams over that time. Plenty of opportunity to get shots up, but Cody knows where he fits into this. I don't think that 13 number is something he's like intentionally trying to target or anything like that, but I think it speaks to him understanding what he does, what he's good at, what's being asked of him. Like, he's been asked to play a lot of different possessions, defend multiple positions. We've seen him play point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward at times. You know, a few weeks ago, he gave an interview saying he wanted to be more of a scorer, and still hasn't broke that 13 shots a game mark in his career yet. So he knows what he does. He knows how he fits. And like Grant and Bertans, I think Cody could play for most teams in the league when healthy, obviously. But he's not my number one role player, though. He's not my number one. Can you guess who it is? So there's a big omission here. There's only one man in the top tier, in the S tier. Trey Mann holding it down at the top. He gets the gold star of role-playing excellence, occupying the top tier by himself. Trayshawn Albert Mann. I know he's hurt, and it hurts the team, but he's a big-time contributor, and he's only 23 years old. He'll get better. He's not a finished product like the other guys in the previous tier. So since the trade, that's 11 games he's played for the Charlotte Hornets. He started every single one of them. All right, we're talking 30 minutes a night on 44% shooting off 10 shots. Again, 44% shooting off 10 shots. He's shooting 40% from three, by the way. It's only four attempts, just under four attempts a game, right? But 40 at a 40% clip is very respectable. 78% from the free throw line, not the greatest in the world, but we deal with it, right? Five boards, four dimes, 1.6 steals. This guy, you can see like what he can become. And when everyone is back, whenever that happens, the potential of a perimeter, Mello, Mann, Miller. There's a lot of different looks. These guys can switch off and create some real possibilities in the half court and give us looks that we haven't really seen in Charlotte in a while. So, you know, it would probably, when everyone's back, and man, obviously occupying either the sixth or seventh man, I would assume, right, as being the first. I assume it would be the first guard off the bench whenever everyone is back healthy. I mean, Micić would be lower in the rotation, which I think would better suit what Micić offers, respectfully. Man is on a rookie deal. Having a player like him here on that money, it should have Jeff Peterson rubbing his hands together, thinking about all the possibilities. So, shout out to Trey, man. He's my favorite role player on the team. And I'm very happy he's a Charlotte Hornets player. Just need you back healthy soon. So just to recap, that's my tier list. That's all my favorite role players in order. Overall, I'm happy with the structure of the team. It's not perfect. Another quality big would be very useful during these trying times. But projecting out the backcourt and swing spots look good. They look pretty good going forward. If, you know, everybody stays healthy. But thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. The All Hornets Podcast Network is one podcast feed with multiple shows, making sure we cover the Charlotte Hornets from every single angle. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe, like I mentioned, leave a review. The All Hornets Podcast Network is affiliated with the Fans First Sports Podcast Group. I've been Sam. You've been great. Peace.